Let's bow here to the word of prayer. Father God, we're standing here spending some time with souls that probably are in balance. The greatest deception, Father God, it's us. For man's heart is so deceitful above all things. Lord Jesus, we don't want to be deceived by nobody. We want to make sure that each one of us here will be on the other side. We're, Lord, here because we love you like the song that Brother Gordon sang. Lord Jesus, the clouds are getting dark. But Lord, we're so thankful by the Holy Spirit you can keep us and guide us. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, sometimes when you preach, you say only about 2% of what you know, and you don't want to say any more. Because sometimes people are not ready. They haven't studied. You know, quite a few people, they don't do their homework, you know that? They come with their Bible Sunday morning. They put their Bible away Sunday night. They pick it up the following Sunday morning, and here we go. But you see, unless you eat every day, you cannot live spiritually.
That's right.
It will catch up with you.
Mm-hmm.
It will catch up with you in a way that you don't know that you're falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very hard thing to go back to God. I was studying today and trying to see what I can say. It's going to be a different service. I want to let you a little bit on the inside, some things that I see. And probably help you to strengthen you in the Lord. Now, I want to thank Brother Cyril, the people here, Sister Cyril, everybody who has done for us. People here love us. Yesterday, a brother here gave me a ride one night, and I don't know what I said, what he said, but somehow the relation was not that close, and yesterday he hugged me, I hugged him, and we go on with the Lord. That's a great time for me to go to somebody and say, forgive me. Have you ever gone to somebody and say, forgive me for that, and all of a sudden you feel like a ton left you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
And before you squeak around fighting and your mind is clogged up with everything, all of a sudden you say, brother, forgive me. And no matter what the other person says, remember, you're free in the Lord. Your forgiveness is based on asking forgiveness from somebody else and not if you are forgiven by the other person.
Amen.
You know that?
That's right.
So, I'm so thankful to the Lord. And being in the ministry for a few years, I never intended to be in the ministry. I'm honest about that. I hated it. Because I came up from a missionary home that you get the pressures, you know. My daddy was in Azusa Street, the town of the Holy Spirit, and he went as a missionary to Athens and he started the work there. And sometimes I'm wondering why God permitted to be born there. Because you have certain advantages that you don't know them, and many disadvantages. I was born in Athens, only about 10 minutes or 5 minutes walking distance from Mars Hill. Mars Hill was my playground. I used to kick the soccer, kick the ball in the rocks and see it coming down the steps. I used to go up to the Parthenon, and the post was my mark with my friends. We used to cut classes and used to go and play there. But you don't know what God has for you. And then I finished my college work there. And then I went to Switzerland. And then I had to learn French. Then I came here. I got another punishment in the States. And I had to learn English. So it's not because you're smart, but because you have to. And in school, I took about 6 years of French. And, you know, it's punishment. But when I start seeing the scriptures, I had to believe in an infallible God, that there's no contradiction in this book. Because if I have a doubt about this book, I have no faith in the book. And somehow God has to show you that it's not paper and ink that's put together, but it's God.
Amen.
Now, God permitted to take these 24, 26 letters of your language, scramble them together, and make words out of it. He picked up a B-O-Y and makes a boy, right? And he tried to express himself in a written form. But no matter how much you're going to read, unless the Holy Spirit reveals it to you, there's no way to understand what God is saying. God has to be there. And many times you make decisions, especially in the ministry, which way to follow. And when I got to the ministry, you know, you look for a prototype, somebody that's a model. Say, I want to be like him. Correct? You don't know what you're doing. You're just getting up and you're looking for that. And I couldn't find somebody that's me. And I was looking for somebody that's like me, and I haven't found one yet, because God makes us as individuals.
Yeah.
And I cannot be you, you cannot be me. But one verse that the Lord gave me at the time of the atonement, when the high priest entered into the tabernacle to offer a sacrifice, the commandment of the Lord was, no man shall be in the tabernacle. And what I see there, when the word of the Lord says that no man shall be in the tabernacle, what it really means is this, that there's no other mediator except Jesus Christ. And standing and ministering for him, I have nothing to do with your salvation. He paid the price for you. And I'm just the donkey that says, praise the Lord. You understand? You know, you're a voice that declares what God has done for you. But you have never been in the holiest of all. It's Christ only, right? And he have done the sacrifice and everything. And I'm sitting outside of the tabernacle saying that he forgives your sins. And I knew that. But then you see, you try to get an approach. And I have seen some things that I'm going to say a few things that might are very strange to some of you. But you study years at colleges and universities and you observe. And I observed lately that the doctrine of PMA is used by many ministers. The doctrine of PMA is positive mental attitude. Let's suppose that somebody tells you how good the Lord is. And you say, amen. God sent a prophet. Amen. We're ready for the rapture. Amen. And you shout and you feel good. You have a great meeting. But if it's sin in your life, you are deceived. You see what I mean? It takes sometimes to preach repentance. Get right with God. Take the word of God, the knife, and start cutting people. And when you start cutting, you are negative. You are no good. Because people want to hear all the time, everything is beautiful. But it is not beautiful. Our fruits show what we are. Correct? And it's better to have a friend to tell you that you're no good instead of having an enemy to tell you how good you are. And you know, one day in the day of judgment, we're going to face that. We're going to face what we say. A deception is not only to say something bad about God. It's something that we avoid to challenge the soul to get closer to God. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
Because you see, like for example, when I preach about repentance and I said generation of vipers, John the Baptist said to the ones that came to be baptized by him, everything was silent. But it's the word of God. The thing is, have I accepted the message, or I'm just, what is it? To me, I don't understand certain things. I don't understand somebody that claims to have the Holy Ghost, that leads you toward truth, to flip-flop in every direction. I just don't get it, because the Holy Spirit will lead you unto all truth. Am I right?
Amen.
We need stability.
Amen.
Or stand and say, now, Here's souls where I'm leading these people. If I preach a different gospel than 10 years ago, instead of deeper, there's something wrong with me. The only difference between me, you, and some other people, I have to say what I believe it's true, you know?
Yeah.
And in the day of judgment, I don't have to see anybody says, "You deceiver, you gave me a good time. I shouted, I praised God, but you never told me that I'm a sinner and I have to repent." Am I right?
Yeah.
That's where you find peace with God. You know, if I can see through the Word something that I can help a man and a woman that carry a heavy burden that nobody knows anything about, it might be terrible sin, and if I can give them the path for this to be removed and find Jesus, no matter if they have been 25 years in the message, if I can remove that to establish that relation between them and the Lord, that's what I want. Not to have somebody in a convention says, "Praise God, everybody got it," because that man or that woman will go to their bedroom tomorrow night and the convention is over, and I don't care how you're going to act here, I want to know what you're going to take with you when you go. Correct? That's the foundation. And now, we have different deceptions, and I'm condensing it because I want to get some serious areas. We have, first of all, a deception by the power of confusion. You know, you can confuse people and they think you are deep, but you're ignorant. You know that? I had one time a Dr. Deaver, he's dead now. He died about a few years back. He was an older person. I worked with him on a project to Washington to get $250,000 for the university. And one time, his wife, about 55 years old, was my student. One time he put his arm around me on campus, said to me, "David, I want you to learn something." And I listened to that man. He was the head of the Bureau of Research. He says, "You know what's a consultant?" I said, "No." He said, "A consultant is a man that has the power to confuse others so they don't know how little he knows." You think of that. That's real. God dwells in simplicity. You know that? God is not an author of confusion. The second point that I see is the power of ignorance. Do you know you can leave a person ignorant if he doesn't know what he's doing? Spiritually, how, Brother David? If I get somebody to tell him that don't ask for the Holy Ghost of Acts 2, I know I'm taking him away from an area that will lead him to the whole truth. So I puppet him. You know what I'm saying? You see, the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. If I tell somebody, "You don't need the Holy Ghost, don't worry, we're another age, praise God, after 63, and the prophet came, blah, blah, a few things," you know, that man needs the Holy Ghost to be led into all truth.
Amen.
Correct?
Yes, sir.
So that's deception. Run away from these things. And now you see, we start looking at the environment around us and we say, what's happened? The next thing, sometimes we chop God into pieces. The Old Testament is no good anymore. The New Testament is no good. I'll take the message. You see, there's no three gods or two gods, there's one God. I don't know why I run across that, but I had a little piece of paper in my briefcase and I didn't even remember it was there. That was the time that Polycarp was dealing with a man of by the name Marcion, M-A-R-C-I-O-N. And that man was the most famous heretic of the second century. Remember, second century. And that man, he was a native of Pontus and afterwards came to Rome. He says the main points of his teaching were the rejection of the Old Testament and the distinction between the supreme God and the godness of the inferior God of justice, who was the creator and the God of the Jews. And he went to Polycarp. Went to Polycarp. Polycarp, a man of God. And I'm reading you a translation here. And he went to Polycarp, and all of them need recognition. You know that? And he said to Polycarp, "Recognize us, Polycarp." And he said to Marcion, "I do recognize you. I recognize you, the firstborn of Satan. Serpent seed, second century. Correct? I recognize you," says the. "And now, when we see in the last days things are happening, examine yourself. We sometimes try to deceive people by magnifying our association with the prophet. You know, the prophet doesn't need any hitchhikers. Live the life of the Word. That's what you need. And I don't go for that. I knew the prophet. You see, these people, I never see them when I was around. They just met the Brother Bram one time, gave it a handshake, went for fishing or something, and everything, they knew everything about it. You see, we don't stand by associating ourselves with somebody else. We're standing because of the Word of God.
Hallelujah.
Correct?
Yeah.
And now, then you see, you go through deception. Some people say, well, you got to know Greek, you got to do that. Sometimes it's a cover up of ignorance. And now, I like tonight to make it a different night, probably. And I like, if I can, to take a controversial issue. To see where you stand. You heard of the word parousia or parousia, am I right? How many have heard it? All of us, right? If I ask what it really means, I doubt if 1% knows. Do you think that the great Jehovah will confuse his people? Absolutely not. Am I right? So, to me, I start looking at it. And before we get into that, let's open our Bibles and read a verse. That's in 1 Corinthians. Let's stand for a minute. The 11th chapter tonight, remember, it's a communion night, right? Am I right? The 11th chapter and the 26th verse. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." Am I right? Let's read it loud together. You read with me. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes." You may be seated. That's a small verse, but there's a lot to it. So now I like to set the stage a little bit. I don't know if I can. Is it okay if I move this chair better? Okay. No, that's better than you. Now, a little boy, about 11 years old, Thomas. Is Thomas here? A little Thomas? Or a little boy who wants to help me? About 11 years. Thomas is here? You, brother, why don't you come over here, okay? No, next to you. Yeah, come over. Very simple, okay? I'll tell you what I'd like for you to do, okay? You can lay down here, okay? Don't sleep, okay? Just stay there. What's your name?
Chris.
Oh, his name is... Are you married?
No.
Okay. Okay. Is there anybody here that you relax any way you feel like? Okay, don't worry, okay? Is there anybody here that has never gone to school, doesn't know how to read or write? Raise your hand. Anybody here that doesn't know how to read or write? Nobody. Anybody here has gone only 1 year to school? You know, Jesus died for all of us, remember. You might have an edge ahead of me. Raise your hand. Nobody? How many have only 2 years of school? Anybody here, only 2 years? Anybody had 3 years only? Okay, nobody here. Okay, I'll make it simple. Just sit there. When I look at the scriptures, the first thing I start looking is a statement came with a word parousia, and that's in the Greek, and that's parousia. Where did it come from? And if it's a word in the scriptures, I cannot just throw it out, right? I give you a condensed definition. Parousia, They call it parousia, or call it parousia, the right term. What it means sometimes is being present. When I was in Athens at the college, they used to say, David Mamel, it says paron, means from the verb parousia. So that means I'm here. But I believe that's a physical part. It's also a spiritual part that you don't see it. Am I right? That's the Holy Ghost is here. God is here. Am I right? So we found this doctrine coming up, and it came out from my own friends, and they asked me for definitions. I didn't give it to them, and I just really examined that and what it is. It's a doctrine that believed the Lord came in 1963 when the cloud came in Tucson. That's what it is, the basis of it. So now the question is, how do I know about that? What the scriptures, what the prophets said about that? If I have a contradiction between the two, then I don't know where I'm standing, right? So now I would like for you to go with me to Thessalonians for a minute. And Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, the fourth chapter, there was an issue there. And some of us have dead people that they have died, our father, our mother, our grandfather, our granddaddy, a son or a daughter, and probably they were with the Lord, correct? And we have questions. We say to them, what's going on? And Paul here on the 13th verse says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. He tells you, don't worry about it. They are all right. That's a beautiful hope, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's speaking now about a hope in the last verse. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. What words? About there's a hope, right?
Amen.
Don't worry about it.
Amen.
But I lost my husband, my wife. God's blood saved them. I'm going to meet them someday. So now I'm sitting here and I said, now, what's the next verse? For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which are asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So now, God will bring with him. Why? Because he has the first fruits of resurrection, which is Jesus Christ, correct?
Yes.
And because he rose again,
yeah.
Right? He's the first fruit of resurrection, and you and I, by being dead in Christ, we have that hope, right? That says we rose with Jesus. Now he continues. And what he says here now, the next verse. Excuse me. For he says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. In other words, it's not somebody say, okay, now Paul is speaking, and not God. That's thus saith the Lord, correct?
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Now he says, thus saith the Lord, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them that are asleep.
Yeah.
We that are alive and remain,
hallelujah.
Instead of the word coming, is the word parousia, just remember, of the Lord, will not hinder them that are asleep. We that are alive and remain. Now, this boy here lays down, I'll say, he represents all the dead. Right? He is a representative of the dead. Every person that has died, that we know in the Lord, he's right there representing them. And you and I are alive tonight in this auditorium. You agree with that?
Yes.
And he tells you and I that we that are alive and remain.
Yes.
With other words, we are alive right now. Something is going to happen. That's the parousia of the Lord. We're going to see what's going to happen. So, I don't know how many years I will live. But if I will start walking from here, one of these days, if I go to his direction, I'll die, correct?
Yeah.
And you're going to die.
Yeah.
And I'm going to die. All of us are going to die. Unless the Lord comes and takes us up there.
Mm-hmm.
You agree with me on that?
Amen.
So this Pharisee, he says, we that are alive and remain, you might be died before I do. I might die before you do. He says, we that are alive and remain unto the parousia of the Lord, we will not hinder them that are asleep. Now he shows me a relation between me and this dead. He says, hinder. What is hinder? I don't do that because of Brother Orgy. You know, I just did myself. Everybody's getting still. Says, we that are alive and remain. And there is a verb, phano. And phano means, I will not reach the dead. We that are alive and remain, let's say I'm moving toward to die, right? And if I cross that line, I'm dead, correct? I have 10 years more right here. We that are alive and remain, I'm the first to die. Okay, I'm moving. Parousia takes place, I stop. I will not reach the death. Death is terminated. Death is terminated.
Hallelujah.
What's the evidence of parousia? That death is terminated. Now the question that rises up, the little boy asking, here's the dead, here's the living, I'm going back to it. We that are alive and remain unto the parousia of the Lord, unto the parousia, that presence, I don't know yet, I don't define anything there, I leave it like it is. The only thing I know that the evidence of that parousia is that me, I will not die, death is terminated right here. Now listen to this. People say the parousia took place, or the parousia in 63. I say, why Brother Branham died in 65? Am I right? If death is terminated, 2 years later the prophet died. I said, I don't mean to get it with doctrines. It's okay with you, but I got to say certain things. I play dumb. I say only 1% that I know, and that's because bragging about it. Here it is. We that are alive and remain at the parousia of the Lord, we will not reach the dead. That's kind of a strange verse, isn't it? So the people in parousia, they came 63, he came, praise the Lord. Now if this happened then, it terminates communion, because you take communion until he comes. I'm going to be tough. I'm going to be tough. I'm not throwing rocks to nobody. But terminates communion, and we read this in Corinthians. We read this. Listen to this. You remember 1 Corinthians? The 11th chapter. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death. When? Until he comes. I'm sitting here. I'm moving. I take somebody that doesn't know right from left. This is what this means. I says, you and I aren't going to die. We're going to stop right here. What are we supposed to be doing? He says, will not be able to phano, who means I will not reach the death. Death is terminated. Mm-hmm. But these people tell me 63 the Lord came. The Word of God tells you that he didn't.
Right.
Now I'm going to get in some other areas of the Scriptures.
Amen.
And I'm not picking on any doctrine, but I'm telling the truth. Am I right?
Hallelujah.
So I will not phano the dead. And tonight you are here to take communion. If you believe the Lord came in 63, you are deceiving yourself. Because you should terminate communion. That's serious, isn't it? So now this doctrine came around that people don't even know what it means, the word, and they fall for it. Now you say, Brother David, just stop for a minute. Stop. The cloud, I'm fine. the previous chapter. In Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, the third chapter, the last verse. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father at the coming. That coming is parousia of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. How many see all the saints in 63? Did you see Paul? Well, I saw a dream of the prophets, all the saints. David, Moses, Elijah, all the saints. You see, you haven't seen the saints. And now the prophet comes in 65 and preaches and takes communion. With other words, it didn't happen in 63. But the people said it didn't happen. It's getting tough, am I right? I came here to just give a few evangelistic things. But it seems to me that somebody has to say something. And probably it's me because I can't go into it. So now it says to me, I will not reach the dead. The people say 63. They haven't terminated communion. The prophet sanctions communion in 65. And that was the last sermon that he preached and he took communion. Who do you believe? Who do you believe? You see, I don't care how big are the people, they are deceivers. Stay away from that stuff. What do you know about parousia? You don't even know what that word means. I remember one time I went to a meeting, and a guy said, amen, amen, amen. It was going like that. I said, if I can isolate that guy, at the end of the meeting, waited back there, the guy came, God bless you, brother. Did you got it? I said, I don't know much about that. He says, parousia. So I talked to him a little bit. You got an accent. What are you? I said, Mexican. I just let him hang himself. I said, I'm a Mexican. He says, that's it, brother. And so on. I said, brother, I said, I'll bring my Bible, get him in the car, just tell me what to read. So I got my Bible, my Greek Bible, I opened. He says, what is that? I said, my Bible. He says, what is it? I said, Greek. He ran. We don't have to run from nothing.
Amen.
Am I right?
Amen.
The Word of God is the Word of God. I don't mean to get into the arguments today. The prophet says by sanctioning communion that Jesus hasn't come. Probably I will be, like I say, it would be easier for me to say, how many love the prophet? Amen. Praise the Lord. But you see, their job has to be done. Different callings and elections. Somebody has to do it. And you see, I just do it. I sit with these fellows, and these fellows tell me, I was in another place, and one time with a minister, I said, who's the spokesman for this thing? Well, Brother David. I said, no, Brother David, you know where you stand. You don't worry about it. You just say, I believe this because of this. I said, now, let's go where you like to go. Here's, I give you two witnesses, and I can go through each one of them. I can give you two witnesses that, number one, parousia terminates death. Number two, you'll see all the saints. That's a cult. That's a devil's door that deceives you to take the hope that you have in the last verse in Christ Jesus. Throw away all that stuff and the tapes that deceive you. You got devils in your home. No wonder you're going to have victory. Now the prophet comes around. He says, now listen. I'm going to the rapture. I was there in the meeting for the rapture. I remember what pressure and so on there. He wants to get out and have a place ready for somebody else. But now the prophet says this. For this I say unto you by the word of the Lord, we that are alive and remain, unto the coming of the Lord we shall not prevent them that are asleep.
Yes.
That parousia will put me in a state that somebody says, the parousia came over. I laugh with them. Because the word says, terminates death. When did he come? 63. I said, what about the prophet? Sanctioning 65. And he says, I'm taking communion now. You want to go on to the rapture? You want to go on to be the bride? You better get rid of this trash.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
A bunch of deceivers with popularity. Get rid of them. Now listen, I continue. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Go to the rapture tape. For the Lord himself, listen what happened. I'm making a letter. Shall descend with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God. Am I right? But Brother Branham didn't put it in that order. He put the shout number one. Did you ever thought of that? He says in the sermon rapture, this is what he said. These things happen, a voice, a shout, a voice and trumpet, has to happen before Jesus appears. That's before Jesus appears. Now, do you know when he preached that? He was still giving the shout? 65. He continues. Now, a shout, Jesus does all these three of them, and he goes descending, a shout, and so on. The following page, paragraph 141, he says, now, he ordained these things to be, and he must send this. The first thing comes that when he starts descending from heaven, is a shout. I thought it was the coming, the first thing. Some of these people think you have to know Greek. Now I'll show you the prophet preached from the Greek and you didn't even know it. You go here in the King James, says, for the Lord himself shall descend. Descend with a shout, with a voice, with the trump of God. Am I right?
Yeah.
You go to the Greek, says, for the Lord himself, with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, shall descend. He puts the descent at the bottom. Kind of strange, isn't it? You find out you don't need Greek to know. Just read the prophet's message by revelation. That's all you need.
Yes.
Peanut brains hypocrites, sometimes. They take around and try to... I don't mean to do these kind of things out of the pulpit, but I don't want to do them. But when you see your brothers and sisters being deceived, you got to do something. So now you say, Brother David, you went to the 16th verse, for the Lord himself, fine, shall descend. These events start descending the Lord, too. But the descent, the final descent, is at the bottom of the three events. So now, we have the, first of all, what you got? The shout, correct? What is a shout? Somebody says, hey! No, it isn't. Comes from the verb kelesma, who means give orders or commands like a general does. Do this. Do that. Do this. Do that. Am I right? We have these commands. We have them on tape. The days of the boys, not the days of the life that still live today. So now he says with kelesma, which means with instructions and commandments, you're going to have some instructions and commandments. You say, Brother David, we have a shout. Yes, if you check the shout that you got, it was not somebody screaming on an uncertain sound, but it was instructions and commandments from the verb kelevo. Specific, what to do. Get ready for God. Get out of the denomination. Separate yourself. Do this, do that. Follow God. Holiness. Love each other. Am I right?
Yes, amen.
You got first to shout. Now we continue and you see here that he says, the voice of an archangel. I'm just glancing through because I don't have time. You look over through the scriptures. There was only one archangel. It comes from a singular tense, archangelos, which is Michael. And Michael deals with the dead. The living get their instructions. The next who got the dead. Am I right? The voice of an archangel and the trump of God, the unity of the bride of Christ that was redeemed to get ready to meet the Lord in the air. It's so simple, isn't it? So simple. You can't get up, brother. You don't have to go to sleep, but just get up. So now, where this came from? I don't want to go to history because it would be too painful. But when we start digging into the idea that we know how to have the evidence of the termination of death, we don't have to have communion anymore. You're here to take communion tonight. We read the verse together and you confess that verse. You know how to read it. And it says the parousia took place and says, the scripture says, until he comes. You know, the only reason demons doesn't want you to have that hope that we're going to meet him in the air. It's spiritualizing the second coming of the Lord. And you find a trace to that. I don't want to get into the whole thing. You find out, started with a seven-day Adventist and then went to Jehovah's Witness. That's where we picked it up. I can show you, and I think I showed the Brother Searle. If you think that's something new, you're wrong. I did lots of work at Princeton University and so on. I showed the Brother Searle volumes 1800 about parousia. I do my homework. Volumes, ask Brother Searle. I think I showed you. Did I show? I show volumes in my library. A very wealthy library, the rare books. That's here it is, a doctorate. So now I'm starting looking, and I says, where did they get that from? That came from the Jehovah's Witness people, that doctrine. And what really happened at that time, that you see the Jehovah's Witness doctrine, now, Jehovah's Witness start developing their own Bible. To cover up a doctrine. You say, Brother Dave, what kind of a doctrine is that that they try to cover? In that diglot, let me first of all define it. Diglot comes from two words, theo and glossa. Theo means two, and glossa is in two languages. Now I have seen, the maximum that I have seen is hexaglot. Six glosses, hexaglot. That volume is found at the research center in Los Angeles, in the Jewish Research Center on Hoover, 36th Street. I'm telling you where it is. Go and see it. Six languages. And it starts Hebrew, Greek, Latin, French, English. Try to remember the other ones. Just columns like that running down. But the Jehovah's Witness put that diglot, and on the title page at the bottom, The imprint is the name of the publisher, the day, and so on, the address. The imprint is the watchtower. Now, I know this, and I'm not going to sit here saying things because I don't want to hitchhike in anybody, but I know something about Brother Branham that when he was quoting Greek words because I was in touch. Brother Branham never used a Jehovah's Witness Bible. That's not Jehovah, that's Oxford. A Jehovah's Witness Bible. To define a doctrine. So Satan comes around now, spiritualizes the coming of the Lord, and gives it to you, and you're in the message. This Jehovah's Witness Bible, I can spend days talking about it. That doctrine was picked up by Arius, A-R-I-U-S, of Alexandria, Egypt. And that doctrine believed that there was a lower God and a higher God, and there's one God, and below them was Jesus, and Jesus was not God. You take the doctrine of the Raphaelites, you'll find them. And that's why in John 1:1, they say this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God instead of God. A God. You see, Brother David, it's all the way through. That's the most polluted and ungodly book that I have. I have my library and I keep it in the corner because of its pollution. Amen. And today the people read it to you and give it to you and you eat it. Pick up that book, the Diglot, and read John 1:1, Matthew 5:9, Matthew 6:24, Luke 1:35-38, Luke 2:40. John 1:6, 12, 13, and 18. John 3:2-21. John 9:16-33. That's the verses. Romans 1:7, the 17th verse and the 18th verse. 1 Corinthians 1:30. 1 Corinthians 15:10. Philippians 2:11-13. Titus 1:1. And all the way through, polluted. And now, they're going deeper in the message. And you see it around, like these hypocrites reading that book in the pulpit. When the prophet came over to pull a bride out of the mess, you say, Brother Dave, what doctrine they support? Listen. That's the Jehovah's Witness doctrine. I'm reading from the Truth Shall Make You Free. That's the Jehovah's Witness doctrine, page 47. He says, the true scripture speaks of the Son of God, the Word, as a God. He is a mighty God, but not the Almighty God, who is Jehovah. That's what you're reading out of that stuff that they give you. I know people will take a machine gun at me, but I have a machine gun before. I don't care. God's with me. Truth is truth. If I can save a soul, I want to save a soul.
Amen.
That's where you are moving with the dialogue, to spiritualize the second coming of the Lord and go on and never look for His coming. We are in a terrible shape. The question is, Brother David, I don't know Greek, but what about the Holy Ghost to convict you from that?
Yes, that's right.
Am I right?
That's right.
What about the Holy Ghost?
That's right.
Listen to this. Jehovah God raised Him from the dead, not as a human son, but as a mighty immortal spirit. They don't believe in the resurrection of the body of Jesus, but just His spirit. And now they tell you parousia. They don't claim the body. They are leading straight to the gutter of Jehovah's Witness doctrine. You know nothing about it. It hurts me. It hurts me. To know that God sent a prophet in the last days, pull a bride out. What are they going to? Denying even in the Bible that they are reading that the body of Christ raised from the dead, if this didn't happen, we don't have a church. My resurrection is based in the first fruit of resurrection, that Jesus Christ rose from the dead.
Yeah.
I'm not expecting to see a David Mamalis about 10 feet high, because the scripture says, this mortal shall put on immortality, not another one. Correct? I hope I don't conflict any doctrine here, what I'm saying, but here it is. He says, the mighty spirit, so the King Christ Jesus was put to death in the flesh and was resurrected as individual spirit creature. That's Let God Be True, pages 43 and 122. It's supported with ace. They perverted it. That's not it. They wanted to get the dialogue. And today the people say, the prophet used the dialogue. And what happened? The prophet didn't really use the dialogue. It's the two languages means. I hate to say that, but I had experienced many times, Brother Brown calls, David, what's that word? I know what's going on. That's why I can stand here and face all of them and tell them what it is. Listen to this. The firstborn one from the dead was not raised out of the grave as a human creature, but he was raised as a spirit. That's Let God Be True, page 272, Jehovah Witness. Today they tell you parousia. Parousia. You know what I'm doing? I'm looking for Jesus that rose from the dead to meet Him in the air.
Hallelujah.
Bunch of snakes sitting at the pulpit of the message. You see, how you can call somebody a snake? They have no business to do that. If they had the Holy Ghost will make them vomit over the stuff that they're giving. Today everybody comes, sow the seed of discrepancy, brainstorms and everything else going on. That's something, isn't it? We're at the end. We are at the end. But we have a promise negative and a promise positive. The negative is there will be a falling away. So they were standing somewhere, then they fall.
Yes.
And the positive is Jesus is going to have a bride.
Hallelujah.
Am I right?
Amen.
A bride. Listen, my brother, my sister. Jesus came down, became Mr. Nothing to reach you.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
So He will take care of you. If you don't know, that's what I was doing. Somebody doesn't know nothing. I had to read or write nothing. Just say, here it is. You understand it. That's why that's simple. Or you won't. What is it? We're in a chaos with some of these people. We're in a total chaos. Looking right and left, people says, now Brother David says, are you going to the book of Revelations? They're having to learn their ABCs to go to Acts 2. No wondering they don't want to go to Acts 2. No wondering they mock the Acts 2. They are sealed out of the kingdom of God. They, if they had the Holy Ghost, will lead them to all truth, not to the Dagla Jehovah Witness stuff. That's a mouthful, but that's true. About Christ's return. Jehovah Witness. Christ Jesus comes not in a human, but in a glorious spirit creature. Parousia. Let God be truth. Page 185. I'm throwing rocks, don't I? But I'm telling the truth. I tell you where it is. You know something? There's nothing greater. To be identified with Jesus. To have the Holy Ghost. I don't know why. I'll go to something. I want to read you something from the Scripture. Is it okay? How the bride is going to be like. That's some spices there. The book of Song of Solomon. I love that book, don't you? That's the bride. The third chapter. That's the bride here. By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him and I found him not. A bed, a place of rest, right? Without the beloved Jesus Christ you have no rest, no peace. You are looking for him. Where is he? Where is he? I'm lonely. Where is Jesus? He's coming any minute. Might be over tonight. I don't know. But he's coming. I will rise now. Nonsense sitting there to try to have rest. You know, you can never have rest. Because Jesus is not there. You are doomed. He said, I will rise now. And go about the city and the streets. And in the broad ways. And I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The bride now started looking around. I will rise now. There's a decision there to be made. I'll go about the city. City and streets is homemade areas, right? Man-made stuff. Was the first church? The first church of the Nazarenes. The next door church? This, the go to the next group. We're in the message. You say, what about Jesus? They don't care about Jesus anymore. They have two high priests. One Jesus Christ and the one on Brother Branham. That's a mouthful, but it's true. So the bride is looking right and left. Where is my Jesus? Where is my Jesus? That's all they know. Go to the city. But you know, there's a characteristic there that I love. The true bride materials know the beloved. And if he's not in the streets and the broadways, they know the difference. Am I right? Because nobody can deceive them. Matthew 24:24. They keep on looking, lonely, brokenhearted. The third verse, the watchman that go about the city, remember the city found me, to whom I said, show me whom my soul loveth. A bunch of preachers there. It says, where is Jesus? Put your name on the book. Where is Jesus? Just accept the message. No, you have to be born by the Spirit of God. harder. Hard. But I'm not a PMA person, friends. Deceiving. Everything is positive. Everything is lovely. Beautiful. It's more than that. The watchmen that go about the city all around found me, whom I said, you know, where is that my soul loveth? I listened to this. It was but a little that I passed from them. Somewhere you pass away from the people to say, put your name on the book. You pass from them. And I found he whom my soul loveth. I held him. You remember when you get Jesus, you don't let him go anymore. Amen. Correct? Amen. The person says this and that. You look at the poor creature. You leave him alone. He says, I held him, and I would not let him go, until I have brought him into my mother's house at the chambers of her that I conceived me. That's back to Pentecost. Hallelujah. Where the church was conceived.
Amen.
Beautiful, isn't it?
Amen.
So now the Jehovah Witness tells us, since no earthly man have ever seen the Father, neither will say the glorified Son. Jesus. Jesus cannot see the Father. That's what they say. One more. I just scratch up probably 50 pages of materials. He says, it's settled. Scripture truth. Therefore, that human eyes will not see him on the second coming. I think Perugia says spiritually. A friend of mine went with a guy that says, Perugia took place. He says, where did he take place? He says, he's here. Where is he? In the air. Where? It's between us. We're sitting at the cocktail, between me and you. My Bible tells me I'll be cut up to meet him in the air.
Amen.
Correct? Back to the Word, back to the Word, back to the Word. Now, we see these things happen. I think it's time going by. I better stop here. I'm going to close with two statements. Then I'll make a couple of statements about communion. When we start looking at the scriptures, we can see sometimes that God came down many times. You know that? Came up to Mount Sinai, and so on. What about if somebody says, here's the Messiah? No, the other scriptures control it. A virgin shall conceive. Am I right? The Messiah will be like you and I. He took the form of the flesh. See? I'm closing with a statement. Now many people look, Revelations 10, 1 to 9, they tremble. I'm making a study. It will be about 8 or 10 tapes from Revelations 10, 1 through 7. I'm making some studies on tapes that will be the dispensationalism, the cult of it, and I bought the Dagwood Bible. They need it. If I have a present tense, I say that that's what I'm doing right now. Am I right? If it's past, what I was doing this morning, correct? If it's future, what I will do the next minute or the next day, the next year, correct? Past, present, future. There's an aorist tense from the word aorist tense, which means time cannot be defined. And if you go to Revelation 10, I'll get into some of these things. Revelation 10, at the sixth verse, he says, time shall be no more. That's an aorist tense that nobody can define it. That was a message there. Now watch what happens today. The people come with the Jehovah Witness doctrine. They give it to us. And the people shout, amen, amen, amen. And I look around and I say, where am I? I feel like I'm in a mental institution. And I try to tell them, get me out of here. I want to get off that train.
Amen.
You can't amen something that you don't know. You know, it seems to me you amen everything. You know, go sometimes in, I was in a foreign country, about 2,000 people. And you know what? When I got there, I was trapped. Because I don't go for convention until I know it. So since 78, I didn't go to this, except Brother Buckles here, because I love that place there. It's a warm place, Brother Sister Buckles. They love the Lord. I love that place. And I had a man standing in the front, came over, you know, sir, 1,800 people, 2,000 people. I don't know how many there were there. He said, amen! He stood up. The next time, 5 minutes, amen! And all these people look around. You know what I said to him? Sit down, brother, that's my audience. It's not yours. They don't even know what amen. You go sometimes, and you put in one ear what the preacher says, and what he gets, amen. He gets a lots of wrong amens. That's cannibalism. Unless you really know that's God, you cannot amen it.
Hallelujah.
And the people travel in how I feel. Oh, it's here. I feel it. You remember what I said? A guy started feeling two people, and he selected their own guy in the scriptures. That's something tonight, isn't it? Getting to some doctrine. I don't talk about these things publicly. But somebody got to do it sometime. You know that? Somebody got to do it. The scripture says this. We that are alive and remain unto the parousia, the presence of the Lord, will not fano, will not reach the dead. This is 63. That's what you serve communion. We don't know. We don't know. What about the prophet serving communion? 65. We don't know. But you see, if you talk fast and confuse the people, a bunch of rabbits says, amen, 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 amen. By the time they get through, they get in that spirit, amen, amen. And they don't stop enough to digest what you say. You see, sometimes we're supposed to say some things and we'll wait to see if it's really digested. The minds of the people, what we're doing. I'm concerned about these things. Now we'll do a little communion. Back to 1 Corinthians. I better stop the rest of the outline. I think we've had enough of that. Brother Ogier said to me, cut it off. So now, see a lot of fireworks out of the service. But if you want more materials, I can stay a week and talk about that. You'll be crawling under your benches. The condition that we are. God sent a prophet and they make a mess, vomit out of it. Why? Because you are looking. If somebody says, Brother Branham is a prophet, you hug it. Judas, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Did he refuse Pentecost? He had nothing to do with it. He went to the prayer meetings. He was called. I think Matthew 11 says, and Jesus called his 12 apostles, not just disciples, that much with the fivefold ministry. Did the scripture tell us in the last days there will be people that will do great things? Am I right? What was the verdict? He says, depart from me, ye that work what? What's iniquity? The word anomia. Nomos is the law, the word of God. Transgressors of that word. What about Perugia? Brace to have tapes. He spoke from the States. What's this? I'm insulted to be here for what the States, the North American continent, have done to this country. I'm insulted. That burns me up. 1 Corinthians 11. I hope we get there. Now, tonight, we're going to get communion. Am I right? The 27th verse, 1 Corinthians 11, 27. Wherefore, he says, shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthy, shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Unworthy. How you can become unworthy? You are transgressed. Am I right? What's the base of transgression? The Word of God. You sound parousia, where in the Word of God. Now, unworthy. What's unworthy, Brother David? Let me tell you something. If we're at the communion table right here, and it says, who is worthy to take communion? And if you are not, you drop dead, I'll be the last one to go. Because there's nobody worthy. All of us, we have our faults. All of us, we have our problems. We repent daily. And we need to repent. How would you like to be a Sister Ogier's state? Although he asked, forgive me, poor lady was torn apart. But now, he asked for something there. He says, the worthy, unworthy. He asked for a word, which is the word axia. Axia is a value of something. I'll take this book. The value is $3, right? That's it. Now, you and I were saved by grace and not by works.
Yeah,
do you know that?
Amen.
And you and I have got a price, which is Calvary.
Yeah.
And as sinners, we look at Calvary and say, Jesus, forgive me. I present the price that He paid for me instead of me saying, I'm taking communion. It's because of Him we take communion,
hallelujah,
not because of us.
Amen.
So God of heaven now, I look at Calvary. I fail you. Oh, you fail me? What am I supposed to do? Probably if you fail, then you're lost. No, he didn't say that. You take John 14, 15, 16. You have another comforter. You remember I said that word is paraclete. Paracletos, Ecclesiastes, a court case. Somebody that stands in the court of justice for me. What happens? Something tells my heart, repent. Eats me up. I don't know what to do. That's the best thing to happen to you.
Amen.
Falling to your knees. You know why I got saved? My daddy was a missionary. I was going to church four times a week. Four or five times a week at least. Walking 30 minutes each way. But when I met Jesus, you know what I have done? I went to my daddy's closet and I picked up the key of the church and I went one day there about 10:30 or 11 o'clock. And I opened the church. Like Brother O.J. would say. I opened the church. I go in. I went to my knees. You know what I pray I offer? If there's a God, I want to know it. That's all. Just as I am. And something happens to you that your life changes. Remember, for 19 years, that happened right before I went to the Air Force. In 19 years, I was going to church and then I got saved. So I know what I'm talking about. You can be, you know, a grandson, keep on going in the message without being saved. So I raised my hands and I got saved. So then, you see, when you offend the Lord, now listen to this, it's very important. Then you start seeking for the Holy Ghost. Today they said the days of miracles have passed, blah, blah, after 63. Don't look at Acts 2, that doesn't count. When Paul came to preach, he declared Acts 2. That was his message. So now what happened when the Holy Ghost comes, although I knew that something happened to me, the Holy Spirit fills me up and tells me now, Jesus the attorney, I got your folder, I got your case up here in heaven. I'm defending you.
Amen.
Amen. Am I right? I'm defending you because I'm sealing you. You know, you can never lose a case because that same attorney is the Word and the same Word is God. So if he defends you and he defends you wrongly, he's a liar. Beautiful, isn't it? To know the love of God. So John says, now my little children, he says, don't sin. That's not a license, right? But if you sin, you have a paraclete, not an advocate, a paraclete with a father, and what he does, when you fail, he doesn't say, well, it's okay, I already sealed him. No, he sends his Holy Spirit down and tells you, you are wrong. Am I right? Do things right. Communion table, cowed silence. Communion table, do these things right. The deacon, the pastor, the visitor, do things right. He says, Lord, what can I do? I love you. I'm your attorney. I don't want you to get lost. I'm your paraclete. I'm Jehovah. I like a bumper around the judgment stands, the blood that I shed for you. But I'm telling you, repent. It's more than that, am I right? What a beautiful gospel we got.
Yeah.
And because of that price,
yeah,
of Calvary, I can come to the communion table tonight. He has my folder. David Mamoulis. Known guilty. Then all of a sudden, we send a clerk, an angel. The day of judgment. Look at the folder. What are you looking for? Mamoulis, comma, David. No case for him. Innocent. Jesus picked up the folder of the guilt, took it, tore it apart. He defends me now. That's a beautiful thing. We have another paraclete. Do you know who's that paraclete? The Holy Ghost. That's what it says in John 14. That comforter, that paraclete, is the Holy Ghost. And you know what people say? We don't want that. I'm wondering if they're saved. I'm wondering if they're saved. But they're preachers, so what? Paul says, I'm afraid. So now he get my folder there. Keeps on going. All of a sudden, I get upset with the deacon, the pastor, my wife, my son. Strife in my heart. I have no rest, no peace, no rest, no peace. I do not until I do things right. Correct? Why? That Holy Spirit is grieved. Leaves the room. Am I right? I have to do things right. There's no greater peace than when you fail God. You go to Him for repentance and forgives you.
Hallelujah.
Forgives you. So you go to God. Lord, I talk against the pastor. That's serious offense. God's anointed. You say, really?
Sure.
David could have killed Saul. And he says, God forbid to put my hands in the anointed ones.
That's right.
Hard. God forbid, he said. So now he comes and he said, I forgive you. That's peace in my heart. I'm ready to get to the communion table. What is the price that I have? What can I exchange for the blood of Jesus? Grace. Grace. But Lord, I'm going to do this. Forget it. You have 100% grace or nothing. It's not 99% grace and you. It's Him. If it's 1%, it's you and grace. And that doesn't work. It's polluted. You see, you pollute grace if you put yourself. You got to let God do it.
That's right. Amen.
Correct?
Yes. Amen.
were saved by grace.
Hallelujah.
The greatest words in the scriptures who have condemned them,
right,
it's an abomination. Friends, do you know what it means when a brother says, "Forgive me, I ask forgiveness"? The angels have a party.
That's right.
And today we're sitting around, I knew about her. I knew about him. There's nothing greater thing than that conviction of the Spirit. You know why? If the Lord gives me repentance, He will lead me, He says, to salvation. He will lead me to the Holy Ghost at the word of the war. Who means like a blind man is led by a dog. You don't know where you go. Trust somebody else. So now tonight we're going to take communion. None of us is worthy. Right? I will be wiped out. Probably yourself, right? Oh, no, I'm sorry. You probably feel you're good. But I need Him right now.
Amen.
And I say, Lord, where can I go next? The communion table is taking place. We sit around. We say, now tomorrow night we're going to have a prayer meeting. Tomorrow night we're going to have divine healing. He says, you are unworthy. That's why they are sick and afflicted among you. We turn our back tonight at the communion service. We're going to have healing service tomorrow night. He says, the reason is because you are unworthy. Because of the self-righteous attitude that we got sometimes. So he says, God of heaven, help me. It takes a real man and a real woman to say, God, forgive me. My brother, forgive me. My sister, forgive me. I want to go on. I'm not talking about compromising. I'm talking about us forgiveness. I'll come back to this in a minute. Then we'll go to foot washing. What is foot washing, Brother David? You become Mr. Flunky. To your brother. You become Mr. Funky at the gate of the party. That you wash your brother's feet.
Glory, glory.
Your sister's feet.
Hallelujah.
You are the lowest of all.
Oh, hallelujah.
You know, if your case, the paraclete has forgiven you, you see everybody about the same.
Yeah.
But sometimes you say, not him, I better go this way to wash feet.
Yeah.
And not her,
yeah,
but I will go this way to wash her feet.
Right.
Eateth and drinketh damnation to himself.
Yeah.
That's hard gospel. I start with parousia, I'm in communion now. Let a man examine himself.
Yeah.
Some people cannot examine themselves. Some people doesn't mean they know what it means to examine themselves. The word exetazo means like the customs. Shake everything up. Well, you got anything with you? This is not good. So on. But I'm so thankful to Jesus that if we fail, we have another advocate with the Father. Another paraclete. And one that stands at the court of justice stands up there. And what he does, he looks at me down here with all my up and downs. But he says, Lord, I have so many trials. Anything you have, he had it. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Everything that you claim that you fuss about it, he went through the same spirits of fighting them.
Yeah.
You know? But we haven't gone through the things that Brother was talking about the other day. We want capstone experience with the Jehovah Witness Bible.
That's true.
That doesn't work.
Amen.
Because you deny that Jesus is God.
Hallelujah.
You deny Him to be the Jehovah. You raise the spirit and you left the body down there. This doesn't work.
Amen.
Friends, We have a pure message, but we have polluted so much to this, the message, that sometimes when I listen, I don't know the difference between what some people preach and sewer. That's not how filth it is. If any man finds a plural tense of dispensation, I want to know her. I'm not throwing rocks, I'm just on the word. What do we do tonight? We're going to serve communion. You know, I never believed to make a show out of a sinner. I never want to see a lady that sits in a mess come down and say, I did this and I commit. No. That's a God. God is not a God that show make a show out of sin. Some people like to do that. Bring the cameras now. She's doing this and everybody just praise the Lord. No. Where you're sitting, promise to Jesus, Lord, within 2 days, within a day, I'll do this right.
Amen.
Stay in your chair. Or if you want to pray, pray. But don't make a show. This is not a Catholic doctrine.
Amen.
This is the redemption by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
You know, sometimes people think that it's Catholicism. Everybody stands up and confesses the sins or something. You know, that's not it. To who you offend, you go to.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Hallelujah.
If it's the church, follow the right channels. Go to the pastors. I fail the people. I'm not the one to sit up there, but I can write you a note. It says, Saints, please forgive me. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Your brother, David Mamoris. Correct?
Yeah.
Sin is not a show. I don't want to know the sins of a lady or a man.
Right.
The only thing I want to know to point them to Jesus, that's all.
Amen.
I'm not a priest. I point them to the high priest that no man can enter in the tabernacle.
Hallelujah.
When the day of the atonement was taken
place.
What a beautiful... God give us every way to get us to Himself. And friends, tonight, I didn't want to spend more time. I think my time is up. It's 9 o'clock. Think of what was said. I can get some doctrines. Your head will spin around. What a terrible mess. You know, it's very hard to sit sometimes in the audience and to know these doctrines. Trace them way back. All these doctrines, it's nothing new, friends, right now. You know, the Russellite doctrine about Parisian all the way back. It's nothing new. To know that the people of God are using a Bible that denies Jesus as God, it bleeds inside. Because somebody wants to be a phony, says I read from there. You know, it doesn't need Greek to go to heaven.
Amen.
You need grace.
Amen. Amen.
Tonight I show you something, you might bypass it. But the prophet, by the Holy Spirit, was preaching from the Greek, said the coming at the bottom instead of the top. And if we take heed what he was saying, shout number one, we don't need all that stuff that's going on. We need God.
Amen.
I don't know how to close, but before I turn the service to Brother Cyril, we're approaching communion. And you know who you are. Am I right? I'm not going to have my wife beating the organ to make you feel bad or something. You know who you are. If you have an ounce of repentance in you, you are one of the most happiest person that lives in this place. Because God gave it to you. And if God gave it to you, it's that godly sorrow that will lead you to repentance. Correct? So if you have that little ounce in you, talk to God. Say, Lord God, the prize that I'm coming, that I'm worthy, is not because of me, but because of Calvary. Forgive me. Forgive me, Lord Jesus, if I fail and I fall into that doctrine of parousia, a devilish thing. I said it because against the word. Help me, Lord Jesus, I want to go on with you. Lord, I offended John Doe, that brother yesterday that hugged my neck and I hugged his neck. I said, this is revival. Revival is not to be the tambourines and dance in the spirit. Revival is the spirit of repentance in you. Revival is measured, it's a relation of distance between you and Jesus. If that revival doesn't bring your soul closer to the Lord, bodily exercise profit nothing. Right?
Right?
We'll pray now. I don't want you to raise your hand. You know who you are. You know what you're doing. The only thing I ask you to do is just tell the Lord, I know I'm wrong. I promise you by tomorrow I'll take things through. I'll make things right. Or the fastest that I can. Father God, Lord, we're so thankful for your word. Sometimes speaking things are cutting, condemning ungodly doctrines. There are stripes waiting. But Lord, it's your word. I won't back out for nothing for nobody because it's you. But Lord, we're here as brothers and sisters, young ladies, sisters, brothers, young men. God of heaven, the sinful eye, the lustful heart. Lord, we're aggravated in this world. We're battling devils every day. Pray, Lord, so that the spirit of repentance might rest upon us. And Lord, we pray to give us strength, Lord, to do things right.
Amen, Lord.
Without your strength, Lord, we're in a mess. Lord, if you said something and somebody thinks an offense against somebody, it's not. It's a rough road to be under PMA and tell the truth as it is. But Lord, we are saved by grace in one of these days. When we see you, we'll face the people that we preach to. And I don't want to be guilty of that. Forgive us, dear Jesus, this day. The brother, the sister. Probably we fail. Lord, we're approaching communion. Lord, we pray so that you help us, Lord, to recognize you are the prize. Lord, when we wash feet, make me the flunky, Jesus. Make me the flunky. Help us, Lord God, to walk the narrow way without compromising. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm just, before we turn to Brother Cheryl, I'm wondering if Paul can start. I'm so needy, Lord, so needy of you. But let's stay with the spirit of repentance before us. You know, it meant so much to me yesterday to meet that brother and hug his neck and say, I love you so much. You know, after cutting the people like that and still say, I love you. That's the gospel, though, you know. You know, I'd rather die or quit or go somewhere. Become a bum instead of being guilty in this day of judgment, without proclaiming what I know in the Word. I'd like to close with something. It's time for us to start examining ourselves. God gave us a message.
Yeah.
And that message to stand has to come to that Word.
Yeah.
Friends, remember, the word of the Lord makes the prophet. The prophet doesn't make the word.
Amen.
You think what I said? The word of the Lord makes the prophet. The prophet Amen. Doesn't make the word. It's God. Am I right?
Amen.
Let's sing I'm So Needy. I am so needy, Lord. so needy of you. Sing with me. I am so needy, Lord, to be more like thee. In this world of sin,